بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. A very warm welcome to this week's edition of Living the Legacy. Today, inshallah, we continue in our series as we explore the gems and learn more lessons from Surah Al-Furqan. We also have our esteemed guest joining us later on today's program. We speak today or hear from Sheikh Shawkat Ali, and he will be talking to us more about the heart. We're currently in our series where we're seeking to learn more about the state of our hearts and learning about the different qualities and the different, the common points within our heart, whether it is what we perceive to be a strength or a weakness, positives and negatives. We're learning more and hoping to understand more about our hearts, and in doing so, be able to work on reforming our hearts. I pray that as you listen to this program, inshallah, that you are keeping well and alhamdulillah, making the most of these remaining hours and days of this blessed month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your standing, your qiyam, your taraweeh, your fasting, your Quran, your dhikr, your istighfar, your dua, your sadaqah, all of your good deeds in this month. Ameen. Now, when we see how beautiful is the truth, and because the surah itself talks to us about truth and about the criterion, we see how ugly falsehood is as well. And we realize their realities, and that it will be the best way of taking the path of the truth. Many people see the truth as ugly and falsehood as beautiful. And that's because of the plots of the shaitan. And that's something we want to make ourselves aware of as we prepare to exit Ramadan in the next few days. With that, the unchaining of the shayateen. But the Quran itself is what tells us the reality, that we are not to be deceived by what we see with our eyes. And that's why Iman is so important. Such that I believe in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling me, regardless of what I see with my eyes. So, in the beginning of the surah, in the beginning of Surah Al-Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you and I about himself, about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and about the Qur'an. Then he tells us about what the disbelievers are saying. In Ayah 9, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, don't pay attention to their examples. It should not affect our way and our journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Ayah 9 of Surah Al-Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you and I, انظر كيف ضربوا لك الأمثال فضلوا فلا يستطيعون سبيلا. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, see, O Prophet, how they call you names, so they have gone so far astray that they cannot find the right way. So, their statements are strange and their examples are rejected. From a hadith, we know that there is a group of people who will be thrown into the hellfire because of one word that they uttered carelessly. And this is why we should never exceed our limits. We need to guard our tongues. We need to speak after thinking about the consequences. May Allah guide us in this regard. Ameen. We also see that there is a contradiction in the statements of the kuffar, of the followers of falsehood. They keep changing their words. But the followers of the truth have one kalam, especially when they are talking about what Allah or His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have taught or conveyed to them. قال الله أو قال رسول الله sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For a person to be guided, he needs to purify his heart, to clear his mind. And only then can he receive divine messages. But if their minds are busy thinking about ways to reject the truth, how will they be guided? We are living under Allah's guidance. We need it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this understanding. In ayah 10 of Surah Al-Furqan, which is Surah number 25, we read, تبارك الذي إن شاء جعل لك خيرا من ذلك جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار ويجعل لك قصورا. Blessed is he who, if he wills, will assign you better than all that, gardens under which rivers flow, and will assign you palaces, meaning in paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Mubarak, the blessed one. And this is the second time in this surah that Allah is telling us this. He can give the blessing to whomever he wants. If he wills, he will provide. So it's associated with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a condition of the will of Allah, and it is based on Allah's knowledge and wisdom. Allah's will is perfect. When he gives provision, it is based on his hikmah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's actions are based on his divine will. And these divine actions are the giving of rizq, or the giving of guidance, etc. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, he will grant to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam better than what they are saying. They are demanding gardens and treasures and angels. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if those would have helped him in his da'wah, Allah would have given it to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So don't think bad about Allah. Example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam prophethood and kingdom. The jinn and the wind were subjected to him because that would help him, meaning Sulaiman alayhi salam, in his da'wah. Every messenger had different qualities, different needs, and different amounts of dunya. So the common factor of all the Anbiya alayhimu salam is their patience, their obedience, and their forbearance. We know from the seerah that sometimes for a month or more, nothing would be cooked in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's house. Sometimes for days they would go without food. So this was to give firmness to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The disbelievers would say, you are a messenger and look at your house. And they would say this trying to affect Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthened him. And what is better than that? As mentioned in this ayah, إن شاء جعل لك خيرا من ذلك. خيرا من ذلك, what's better than that? Gardens under which rivers flow and palaces. The word here is قصور. ويجعل لك قصورا. So, when we look at the word قصورا, we understand it to mean big, adorned houses. Allah is saying that he can give Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this in dunya and in Akhirah, and that the Akhirah is better and more everlasting. So see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supporting Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will get al-wasila, the highest degree in paradise. May Allah make us accompany Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise. Ameen. Now, in their minds, the kuffar are always thinking about dunya only. They have only one vision, one dimension. They only see the worldly matters. When they choose a spouse, it's according to dunya. When they choose jobs, it's based on dunya. But Allah's choices are not based on dunya, but on other qualities, such as patience and forbearance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over all the humans. Divine choices are based on excellent, distinguishing, good qualities. Even we should choose based on what Allah wants, not based on dunya. So for example, if you choose someone for marriage, don't choose only based on beauty or wealth. Choose based on what Allah wants. Allah has given us all this knowledge in the Quran so that we don't get distracted or influenced by others. Now, as we continue with the surah, we learn that ayat 11 until 19 tell us about the inner motives behind disbelief. And so we continue with ayah number 11 of Surah Al-Furqan. بَلْ كَذَّبُوا بِالسَّاعَةِ وَأَعْتَدْنَا لِمَنْ كَذَّبَ بِالسَّاعَةِ سَعِيرًا. It translates as, in fact, they deny the hour. And for the deniers of the hour, we have prepared a blazing fire. So this ayah starts with nay, bal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is negating everything that they are saying right from the beginning. There's no value for it. Allah knows the inner feelings of the humans. We don't even know ourselves unless Allah tells us. This is all to reform us. Allah knows what's behind the scenes. May Allah grant us understanding of this. Ameen. Join us after the break in the next segment as we continue learning more about the gems and lessons from Ayah 11 of Surah Al-Furqan. Stay with us. A warm welcome to the second segment of this hour here on the program Living the Legacy this week. We pray that your Ramadan has been blessed and peaceful for you, and that you continue to maximize on all these special moments leading up to the Eid. May Allah accept from us and from you. Ameen. We are currently looking at ayah number 11 of Surah Al-Furqan. Now, in this ayah, we said it begins with negation, where Allah is negating everything that the disbelievers are saying right from the beginning. We also spoke before the break about how it is that Allah knows the inner feelings of the humans, and that we don't even know ourselves unless Allah tells us. This is all part of us, the need to reform ourselves. Many times the debate with the disbelievers go in the wrong direction. So we think about the motive that they might have behind it, which is essentially denial of the Day of Judgment. So behind all these doubts and these confusions is their denial of the Day of Judgment. And Allah has revealed to us their secrets. So now we know how to advise them. Now, because people don't believe in the Day of Judgment, you will find that they say evil things about the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And on the contrary, people who believe in the Akhirah will always be careful before they speak, because they know that they will be taken to account on that day. Belief in Allah and in the Day of Judgment are very important pillars of Iman. Belief in Allah will make us do everything for Allah's pleasure. And belief in the Day of Judgment will help us to keep in mind the consequences of what we do. That we are working for Allah, and that we want the reward from Allah. So we need to believe in the Day of Judgment. It is not as if the disbeliever doesn't know of the Day of Judgment. He or she knows. But it has not had an impact on their heart. It has not sunk into their heart. And once it sinks, it will show on the outside. So the believer should show his or her belief on the outside, in their ibadah, in their dealing with people, in their manners. And the outside is an indicator of the inside. Sometimes people will say, I don't want to know more. I don't want to know about the Day of Judgment, because then I will be sad or depressed or scared. But it is a way of reforming ourselves. We need to know about the Day of Judgment. We need to reform ourselves. We need to change. If we don't want to hear it, it doesn't mean we won't face this day. We will all face it. Once we have yaqeen about this day, we will want to do more good deeds. We will want to stop sins. We will want to change ourselves. Because when we are scared, it can have a great impact on our behavior. No one can say, I'm waiting till Allah guides me. But Allah doesn't change anyone's state unless they change themselves. And this change has to be from inside. Nothing is more beautiful or strong than the Quran, and it can change the people. So we need to have this genuine fikr, this concern and worry about the Day of Judgment. If we don't worry about this, what else will we worry about? Nothing is more severe, nothing is more dangerous than that day. So the one who denied the Day of Judgment, Allah has prepared for him or her a flaming fire as a consequence of their disbelief. Often the question that's asked is, what makes people to go to the wrong way, although it's very clear that it's wrong? And often it is because of denying the Day of Judgment. So don't deal with the facts of the Day of Judgment as if it will happen to someone else. Put yourself there, as if you are standing there, and it will literally make your heart run. The Quran Kareem gives us relief. It shows us the light and guidance. It awakens our hearts. Nothing can do this except Kalamullah. So if you see that your heart is not moving, your heart is not moved after reading the Quran, this is not a problem with the Quran. It is a problem with our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove all the rust which covers our hearts. Ameen. May Allah forgive our sins. Ameen. May Allah remove our sins and their consequences from us. Ameen. And may Allah make our hearts such that our hearts move immediately on reading the Quran. Ameen. So a question that's often asked is, how should I increase my faith about the Day of Judgment? What should I do such that it doesn't leave my mind? And the shortest answer is, wear 3D glasses, meaning associate everything with the Day of Judgment. When you see the sun, think, how will it be on the Day of Judgment? When you see the sky, think, what will it look like on that day? Imagine yourself on the Day of Judgment. May Allah save us from kufr. May Allah increase us in faith on the Day of Judgment. Ameen. Because that is the change which awakens our hearts. Remember, you cannot memorize the ayat of Quran. We can only repeat and repeat and repeat, listen and listen. When we will ponder and reflect on them, that is when they truly become lodged in our hearts. And our tongues will follow our hearts. So think, I want to act on them. Make that niyyah, make the dua that I want to act upon the Quran. May Allah make ayat of the Quran firm on our hearts. We don't just want them in our mind and our tongue, but we also want change in ourselves, right? And real change comes from the heart. So make the intention to learn the Quran, to memorize it, yes, but also enjoy each and every ayah of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Ameen. In the beginning of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about His Majesty, and then the doubts that the disbelievers are raising against the Quran and against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Allah tells us about the motives behind their actions, which is denial of the Day of Judgment. And so we need to remember the pillars of Iman. We need to constantly feed our hearts with the pillars of faith. So it's not about thinking, I know what is belief in Allah in the Day of Judgment. Actually, we need constant reminders about them. That is the basis and the common thread for the stories of the Qur'an. And so we need in our reading and our interacting with the Qur'an to see the pillars of faith in every ayah. When there is a problem with any of the pillars of faith, there will be an imbalance in the human being. And then we say things that we shouldn't say, we raise doubts, we argue, we reject. So this imbalance comes out as a rejection. And rejection of even one pillar of faith can put a person in the hellfire forever. And in these last remaining days of Ramadan, part of our supplication, our daily dhikr, is where we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection from the fire. Don't we recite Allahumma ajirna min al-nar, right? So we need to believe in the pillars of faith without seeing them and believe in them without any doubts and any problems with them. If there is a single doubt with any of them, this is testing on our faith. And the evidence for this is here in Ayah 11 of Surah Al-Furqan. بَلْ كَذَّبُوا بِالسَّاعَةِ وَأَعْتَدْنَا لِمَنْ كَذَّبَ بِالسَّاعَةِ سَعِيرًا. In this ayah, in ayah number 11 of Surah Al-Furqan, we learn, nay, they deny the hour, meaning the day of resurrection. And for those who deny the hour, we have prepared a flaming fire. In many different places in the Quran, we find the mention of Jannah and Jahannam. About Jahannam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِذَا رَأَتْهُمْ مِنْ مَكَانٍ بَعِيدٍ سَمِعُوا لَهَا تَغَيِّذًا وَزَفِيرًا. Excuse me. When it the hell sees them from a far place, they will hear its raging and its roaring. Allahu Akbar. In Ayah 11, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He has prepared Jahannam and prepared it well. Before the disbelievers reach the hellfire, it will be able to sense them. We know about senses in the dunya, right? So the disbelievers still haven't reached hellfire. Who has made this hellfire have a feeling and that it can see and it can hear? We think that the hellfire is not living, that it cannot speak. But on the Day of Judgment, everything will be living and speaking. Our limbs will speak. The hellfire will speak. Stones will speak. The hellfire will be able to see them from a far place. The ayat of the Quran tell us about Qudratullah. They tell us about Allah, about His ability and His power and His knowledge, that Allah's power over the hellfire that He made it see, and that Allah is the all-knower of all His creation. So this increases our faith. May Allah grant us understanding. Ameen. We talk more about the Ayatul Quran, inshallah, in next week's program. I'd like to now introduce you to our guests coming up in the next segment. Today, we hear from Sheikh Shawkat Ali. Sheikh Shawkat Ali is currently employed as an advocate and researcher in the office of the Chief Justice of the Republic of South Africa, where he has worked for that post past 15 years. He studied for 8 years in Cairo at Al-Azhar and thereafter proceeded to Pakistan for a further 7 years, where he obtained an LLB honours in Sharia from the International Islamic University. Sheikh Shawkat Ali currently runs a madrasa at the Taronga Road Masjid in Cape Town, South Africa, and also has sizable online footprint. He is also engaged in various adult Quranic and revert literacy programs. Today, we hear from Sheikh Shawkat Ali on the topic, Rich Heart, Poor Heart. We ask him, we often hear the term spiritual poverty. What does this mean? We also ask Sheikh Shawkat Ali to explain to us, how can we establish contentment in our hearts? And finally, Sheikh Shawkat Ali shares with us his nasiha as we draw close to the end of Ramadan. Sheikh Shawkat Ali joins you after this break in the next segment to talk more about spiritual poverty contentment in the heart, and his Ramadan Nasiha. For myself, I look forward to meeting up with you again next week, inshallah, by which time we will be in Shawwal already and share with you more then. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This is Living the Legacy with Hafiza Rayana on Radio Islam International. Stay inspired.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله الأطهار وأصحابه الأخيار. Today, inshallah, we want to talk about the issue or the term spiritual poverty. Exactly what is meant by spiritual poverty and how the Quran uses the term spiritual poverty and the different dimensions of the term spiritual poverty. Now, in fact, the Quran uses the term in a negative sense and in a positive sense. In a positive sense, it is used in the institution where Allah talks about the institution of Ramadan. For example, one of the purposes of Ramadan, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبَلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّكُونَ. تَتَّكُونَ, the word تَتَّكُونَ, which is derived from taqwa, and it means to be Allah conscious. So the institution of Sawm, of Ramadan, has been given to humankind to develop this sense of spirituality, to develop the sense of a heightened and elevated sense of spirituality. So Allah says, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, that I have ordained, I have prescribed, I have written for you fasting as I have ordained it for those before you, those nations before you, so that you can attain taqwa, so that you can attain spirituality, and so that you can move away from a sense of spiritual numbness, a life which is devoid of spirituality, a life which is devoid from Allah consciousness, to a state where you can become spiritually elevated through your fasting. And this is one of the main purposes for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained the month of Ramadan, the institution of fasting, so that you can develop taqwa and a heightened sense of spiritual richness and spiritual, so that you can gain that momentum during Ramadan to become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the same ayah where Allah says that I have ordained fasting, Allah tells us why. Why have I ordained fasting for all the nations? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّكُونَ. Allah gives the answer as well. Allah says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّكُونَ, so that you can become spiritually rich, as opposed to spiritual poverty, as opposed to spiritual emptiness, as opposed to spiritual numbness. So this is one of the primary sources, one of the primary institutions which Allah has given humankind to attain nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are other acts, ordained acts of ibadah, that also develops this kind of spirituality. But fasting specifically, Allah mentions that Allah has given it to previous nations as well, so that you can develop this Allah consciousness. And it is an institution which comes once a year, for 1 month, one entire month. We can use this institution to gain a heightened sense of spirituality. So, in various other ayat of the Quran, the opposite of being spiritually enriched is mentioned as well, and that is spiritual poverty. So, when we speak of a person who is spiritually developed, or what it means to be spiritual, we're basically saying that person has developed a close connection to the Almighty. That person is close, that person is in close proximity to the Almighty. And how does one develop this proximity to the Almighty? One can either be close to the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which case you are spiritually developed, or you can be a spiritually devoid human being as well, or a spiritually void person, in which case the person is further removed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this spirituality can also be developed through acts of worship, through charitable acts, through acts of kindness. A person does not merely become spiritual overnight. You find the Salihin, the Anbiya, the companions of the Prophet, they simply did not become spiritual beings overnight, but it is a process, it is a developmental process that you have to go through. You purge yourself, you commit less sin, and increase your acts of ibadah. And once you do this, you find that you develop a sense and a notion that you need to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you yearn to be so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the time when you realize that you are now a person who has reached a daraja or a stage of spiritual growth and spiritual richness. The person who, on the other hand, is spiritually poor is the person who is further removed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, spiritual poverty, from the perspective of Muslim thinkers, they've offered different definitions of spiritual poverty, and some of them believe that just as the human body needs proper nutrition, so does the human soul also need proper nutrition. And the proper nutrition for the development of the soul is basically your acts of ibadah, being a good human being, avoiding malice, avoiding being malicious, avoiding causing harm to other people, basically following the sunnah and following the teachings of the Quran, following the Quran. And this will enhance your spiritual development. It may, in some instances, you know, it will not cause the body to suffer, but also, one must remember that neglecting your physical self does not necessarily, as some Sufis believe, enhances the spiritual development of the human being. No. Islam teaches us absolute balance. Islam teaches us moderation. So, being moderate in ibadah as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the Prophet stood up the entire night and his feet became swollen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala admonished the Prophet and said to the Prophet, O Prophet, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, spend of the night that which is necessary only, and rest as well. Take a portion of your night and rest, and a portion of your night for ibadah, for worship. So in its entire development of the human being, of the human spirit, Allah admonishes the Muslim to be constant, to be moderate in all aspects of his life or her life. So the Muslim, very, very important, is someone who is moderate in all his or her aspects of life, including worship. Because you cannot worship Allah if you have a weak body. The body needs rest. That's why it is here I want to talk a bit about the niyyah. وآخر دعوانا هم عن الحمد لله.